There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 859, November 16th, 2020. Nasser?
Yes, sir. Istanbul was Constantinople. Lance was on pole. But LCH goes rock and roll. Back to Johnny B. Good of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Knighthood Calls Grow for LCH, the greatest. Jensen Button says, LCH needs a stronger teammate, for goodness sake. Duh. We have more from Gary Sloan in thepitlane.com, and we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Sir, I am doing good. Thank you for asking. How are things on the left coast?
It's beautiful. Winter is on its way. It's cold in the palatial studios.
And the skies are blue, just like the environment.
Indeed, indeed, indeed.
Well, guess what? LCH in seventh heaven. The race was a great Turkish delight for race fans around the world. And what a pleasure it was to get up at 5 in the morning and watch it live. Actually, you know, I got up at 5:10, not making this up. And it takes time to boot up the laptop and all that because I watch it on the F1 TV on the online. And I figured I'll miss the start, but the cars were on the formation lap. Did you enjoy the Grand Prix of Turkey, sir?
I did. I enjoyed probably 57 laps of sheer fun and adventure.
Yeah, this was like the Monza race. You know, you just don't know who's going to win.
Well, let's not get ridiculous. We still know the best car on the track, the best drivers on the track. It didn't take me too long. But yeah, it was exciting thinking that Lance Stroll might have a chance. But we knew that wasn't going to happen with tires and everything else. So that's my spin on it. But no, great race. I loved every minute of it simply because for a minute there, you were being given something that could be glorious and wonderful, and you know, a new winner every week. Oh my goodness, it's so competitive. But in the end, the usual stuff comes up. It's not a big deal, but entertainment was wonderful.
Well, it's called cream rising to the top, but absolutely amazing race. And you know, I totally agree with you. I did not that I have anything against Lance Stroll of Racing Point, but I just had a very strong feeling that rain or shine, this was Max Verstappen's race to lose, and lose he did by spitting and also going over the pit lane exit line, but he did dodge that bullet. But I had a very strong feeling that Max is going to, by turn three, he will be in the lead. And it was not to be. And in the early going, Lance was pulling away and strolling away and looking very, very impressive, I have to say. And what was really exciting that you alluded to is there was a possibility of seeing a first-time Grand Prix winner. And I always look forward to that day, and which is so rare in since the hybrid era. And then there was the possibility of Sergio Perez getting his long overdue victory, and Albon looking for some Thai sensation at the top step of the podium. But Mr. Rogers, for me, As I was watching the race, I was thinking, this is great performance from Sebastian Vettel. And at the end of the day, on the F1 website, he was voted as driver of the race. He was driving like he did in the 2007 Brazilian Grand Prix. I shall never forget the closing stages of that race when he passed Lewis in the rain and denying him his first championship till another German driver came to the rescue of Mr. Hamilton. And like you said, when it was all over, it was cream rising to the top. Business as usual, win number 94, championship number 7, and I guess the raindrops that were falling on Lewis's helmet carried some liquid luck. So that's the way it was, but a fantastic race. I mean, so many kudos are coming to Lewis Hamilton, and very rightly so, from British politicians, from all sorts of people, and we've done our part before this by dedicating a podcast to him. Would you have any final thoughts on Lewis Hamilton matching Michael Schumacher's championship?
You can't use the word final. I mean, this is going to continue for some time to come. Certainly, he's the luckiest man in the world. And simply because of his teammate, Jenson Button, said it so eloquently. For God's sake, let's get El Machismo in there or something, you know, to spice it up a little bit. Where was his teammate in this race? Watching the Nutcracker on television and doing pirouettes on track.
Well, we shall come to that. Shall we talk a little bit about Colli?
Oh, the exciting part?
Yes, sir. And by the way, the track is the Istanbul Park, or I think they now call it the Intercity Park. It's the finest from the mind of Hermann Tilke. And I found out that the famous Turn 8 has a nickname. It's not called Parabolica, it's called Diabolica. Your thoughts on the track, sir?
Love the track. I love the track, and I was laughing because they had just repaved it because of their naivete, and the Turkish people wanted to present a beautiful track. And they were proud of that tarmac. I mean, it was so tight and smooth and bitchin'.
Yeah, and then the rain came. I was not expecting rain, and that was dramatic in the rain. You know, the Colli Spinning Festival featured Max, Kimi, and of course, Romain Grosjean. It was very impressive performance from Max, man. Red Bull 1-2 in Q1. And Q1, Bottas 9th and Lewis 14th. I just thought they will come back. But that was the big surprise. Usual suspect were out, you know, both Williams cars and both Haas cars. And I cannot even imagine how much motivation Romain Grosjean and Kevin Magnussen may have now to impress the team, or Gunther Steiner, so it could be like, who cares now? Q2, another 1-2 for Red Bull. Max, this was very impressive, man, and impressive for Max and his fans, but very devastating for Albon. Max was a whopping 1.9 seconds faster than Albon. That is sad, sad day. Both Ferraris and McLarens were out. Sebastian ahead of Leclerc this time, which was looking good for him. This actually is quite an achievement for him these days. Now, another surprise to me was, as you would say with meatball marinara sauce, both Alfa Romeos coming into Q3 with Signor Giovinazzi, impressive, 5th. And then we came to Q3 when everybody expected Max to take the pole, a point made by Lance Stroll. First Canadian pole position in Formula One, I believe, since JV at the 1997 European Grand Prix. Trick was switching to intermediate tires. Till then, Max was the man throughout Friday's free practice and Q1 and Q3. But very, very surprising and hard to believe. No Mercedes drivers on the front two rows. Your thought on Colli, Senor?
I thought it was great. Obviously, Mercedes struggled on setup. They couldn't figure out what was going on. The lack of testing or practice with wet tires, you know, we get so little of it. It was great. And on top of that, Pirelli really issued the wrong set of tires for this kind of tarmac. So that's why it was just chaos tire-wise throughout qualifying, throughout the race. Loved it.
Yeah, and Mercedes almost every season has a race like they did in Remember Singapore some years ago when they were nowhere in the picture? And this thing came back here. And Lance's pole had changed the physical on pole at Spa many moons ago when the team was called Force India. And at the start, Kimi ruined his race. In post-quali interviews, Lance said he was in shock. Well, he was not the only one, but a great effort by him. And I have a feeling Jacques Villeneuve is borrowing a phrase from the host with the most and calling it lucky pole. But Lance now, Mr. Rogers, despite his debt, billions and billions of dollars, he is now in the history books as the fifth youngest pole winner, which is very, very impressive. And look at the company he has. Other young whippersnappers are Max, Nando, your man, Leclerc, and the leading whippersnapper of pole position is Mr. Sebastian Vettel. Max did get second spot on the grid ahead of Sergio Perez, and that's where I expected Max to take off at the start, but it was not to be. Over to you, sir.
Well, Max really was totally devastated not getting pole. I know he's being very conservative, talking to the press, and he's trying to be PC and everything, but he was found squatting on the floor right next to a garbage dumpster. I'm not going to say he was whimpering anything, but he was reflecting and really disappointed with himself to think that some billionaire's child beat him to pole. He had a hard time accepting it. It reminded me of somebody else that had a hard time accepting things.
Who could that be now?
I have no clue, but I'm coming up with something really quickly.
It must be the 2007 season you are talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, Lance had not scored a point since his podium at Monza, and he was looking really supreme, and I was very, very impressed by the way he was driving. And I was thinking that if he wins the race, it will have the same effect as Pastor winning in Barcelona, and that he will shut up a lot of people. And what was really stood out was in slippery condition, he did not make any mistakes. And then when he came into the pits, he lost his mojo and started. He was saying after the race, I'd like to know how come I was having so much grinning on my tires. What happened? What did we do wrong? But that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, young man. And I agree with you, man. In quali, Max looked like he was like lost the championship. And I was very, very surprised because the package he has and the guy who was on the front row with him on pole, Max on paper should have had no problem beating this guy. And do you remember when Kovalainen made his F1 debut with Renault? After the race, Flavio made a comment that it was not him in the car, but his brother. You remember that?
That's one of my favorite Flavio Bravo, Bravo, Bravo moments. He always has a good way of putting a driver in his place when there is no performance.
My favorite Flavio moment was at the 2005 US Grand Prix with six cars running. The camera goes to him and he's saying to some other team member, you want to bet with me? I predict Ferrari 1-2. That was like zany brainy from him. But that's the impression I got from Max's performance on Sunday, you know, like somebody else was driving the vehicle. He had a slow getaway, spun on his own, and then ran over the pit lane thingy that we already mentioned. And he himself described the race as super frustrating. What did JB said about Bottas, I'd like to know?
Well, he didn't really criticize Bottas. He was criticizing Mercedes for not, and Formula One, for not providing the fans and the competition for Lewis Hamilton to have a teammate that was a little more evenly matched. That's all. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but just not quite competitive enough for me personally.
Yeah, you know, it's, I read somewhere that Monsieur Prost advised, based on his own up-close and personal experience, that he advised Toto Wolff, and Toto listened to him, that do not get two tigers in one cage. And hence the statement from Toto Wolff, there is no room for Max Verstappen at Mercedes. And it's right, you know, it will destroy the team if they bring Max Verstappen into that team. There's no question about it. So now they have a winning horse who keeps winning. And yeah, he's not high maintenance like Montoya or Alonso. He cost a lot of money, $40, $45 million, but that's nothing for a $100 billion behemoth called Daimler-Benz, and they're getting a lot of publicity out of it. But I am really waiting for the day when they will say, on pole position, Sir Lewis Hamilton, are you ready for that, sir?
Oh, it means nothing to me. I mean, I'm happy the Queen is still alive, so they should, you know, get this done really quickly, before number 8, probably.
Yeah, we'll see. Now, Mr. Bottas, he had the weekend Massa had in the British Grand Prix on a rainy day some years ago, spinning again and again. I did not count how many times he was winning, but I heard Peter Windsor say on his YouTube video cast that he spun 6 times, and that was pretty sad. You know, Mr. Rogers, getting beaten by your teammate by over... Bernie's calling you?
Hang on. That's Mr. Trump. One moment, please.
Getting beaten by your teammate by over 100 points with 3 races remaining is very sad indeed. The only comfort Bottas can take, and I will give him credit for that, is that his teammate is LCH and not Barrichello or Bourdais. I mean, realistically, you know, who can they put there who can push Lewis? Max, for sure, and Charles, most likely. But then, you know, I mean, I like Charles Leclerc. He's a very nice young man, and he has won a couple of races. But now we know, after the fact, that those 2 wins were, let's call it an illegal engine. But I don't want to take that away from Charles Leclerc. He's very talented. So I think there are, like, only 2 drivers on the grid right now who can push Lewis Hamilton. So that makes Toto Wolff's life much easier. But I still think the marketing geniuses at Mercedes should get Bottas sponsorship from Avis on the side parts of his Mercedes. They can have a sign saying number 2 and loving it. And for the driver, it must hurts so bad. But that's just the way it is. And you know, I really felt bad for him. And this is coming from Andrew Benson of BBC.com. He wrote that when Bottas was told there were 4 laps left in the race, Bottas replied, I wish it was less. That is very, very, very depressing. I think, you know, Bottas is going to go for a 6-pack of Finlandia as soon as the season is over. And sad part is, even if he wins the season opener in his girlfriend's home country, Australia, the Bottas 3.0 will have to deal with Lewis 7.0. And that's a tall order. Martha knows the feeling, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. But I say to Bottas, like he's going to listen to me, make all the millions you can, win a race or 2 every season, and enjoy the ride. Nothing is forever. Shall we move on to Sebastian Vettel, sir? How would you rate his performance this race?
It's his best performance of the season, really. Sebastian Vettel woke up. Even after the race, you know, you could tell that he realized he still had testicles. He found them again. They may have been tucked up or something. He got machismo. Even some of the commentary afterwards, the no tolerance for the rig on the track during quali, the blah blah. He was being machismo. I thought it was fantastic.
No, you're going pretty deep on Sebastian today. That's impressive. Yeah, finally he had a weekend to remember. Out-qualified his teammate, and on the opening lap gained like 8 places to be 3rd from 11th on the grid. Later in the race, and this was what I was convinced, Lewis was not going to win the race. I mean, I was really convinced that we're going to have a first-time winner. I just did not know if it will be Perez or Lance Stroll. But later in the race, when Seb was running behind LCH, and both of them were out of the top 3, I was thinking how amazing drivers with almost 11 championships between them are running behind drivers who have never won a single Grand Prix. But personally, you know, I have faith in Sebastian. I was very happy to see him do a great job. It certainly, for me, brought back memories of Monza and Toro Rosso in 2008. and this was his first podium since Mexico last year. I very much hope next season the finger and the Egyptian dance he does on the podium is back as he becomes the German James Bond at Aston Martin. And I am surprised to this day and age of happy litigation, barristers for Bengals have not sent him a cease and desist letter. Even F1 Weekly got a cease and desist letter from FOM long time ago. Now, Seb's teammate Charles Leclerc had the podium all locked up on the final lap, and he was also very upset with himself after the race, but then he went for the jugular to grab second from Perez and paid the price, letting Seb slip by. Sir, I have a question for you. You know, we've seen some great moments in rain. Do you ever recall a great moment or a great drive in the rain from Kimi Raikkonen?
Yes, last weekend.
Would you call that a great performance?
No, it wasn't. But, you know, Kimi Raikkonen is not necessarily famous for his great performance on water. He likes ice.
Yes, you are correct. But, you know, he is generally regarded, and I agree with it, as one of the greatest pure natural talent who ever came into racing. And people at that level are definitely very good in the rain, but I have never seen him be a major factor, and which is very, very surprising. I mean, I don't. Obviously, there is not even a chance of him ever doing a Donington 93 or a Barcelona 90, 96 moment. And I do remember heavy rain, a Japanese Grand Prix of 2007 at Fuji, where somebody else, very famous and two-time world champion, crashed out on his own. Kimi was involved in a mega battle with fellow Finn, Mr. Heikki Kovalainen, and surprisingly, could not even come out of that battle on top. Kobe beat him in that showdown in the shower. So this is kind of a surprise. But I've seen great drives in the rain by Nando. Jenson Button made a living out of it, especially changing conditions. But Kimi, no can do so far. Now we come to the siege of Leningrad of motorsports, Alexander Albon. He, to me now, is the Buffalo Soldier of Red Bull, fighting on arrival, fighting for survival in the land of Dr. Marco. Oh, so close to winning the race and saving his seat for next season. But he let it slip away like so many other drivers, especially after an early advantage handed out to him by his teammate, which is a very rare commodity this day and age. With Perez finishing second, it just adds more pressure on Alexander. You know, as much as I would like to see him, but when I see the gap between him and Max Verstappen in the same car, I think his days and races are numbered at Red Bull. And probably they will put in Sergio Perez or Nico Hülkenberg. You think they'll keep Alexander Albon?
No. I mean, he's young. He tries really hard. He's just not up to the task of staying close to Max Verstappen on race day to get maximum points.
And I don't, just like the Lewis Hamilton and Bottas situation, I don't think Mr. Dr. Marco is going to find somebody who can really get close, who can bother him. I mean, even Hülkenberg said he can get to within 0.3 of Verstappen. He did not say I can rattle his cage. So we'll see how it works out. And you know, speaking of Sergio Perez, some years ago, he came close to winning his first Grand Prix in Kuala Lumpur, of course, Malaysian Grand Prix. But your hombre Nando got in the way. In Istanbul, he was looking good for his first ever win when his teammate was suffering with draining on his tires. There was talk on team radio of last lap showers, and the race leader Lewis was told by his team to box, but His Majesty overruled and kept going, and that denied Sergio Perez to become the first Mexican Grand Prix winner since Pedro Rodriguez, going back, I think, like, what, 1970 Spa-Francorchamps. Would you like to see Sergio or Nico at Red Bull, sir?
They're both fine. I think they're both talented, experienced. I think Nico might have a little bit of an edge, but not necessarily. Any of them is good.
Okay. Finally, we come to the race winner and your favorite driver before the 2021 season starts. Lewis now has 10 wins from 14 races so far this year, record equaling 7th championship in the bag. You know what was very nice, and really, I was thinking, right, that Sebastian Vettel, you know, we all have our faults, that he is a classy gentleman. He was the first to congratulate Lewis Hamilton, and he said it best about Lewis as being the greatest driver of this generation, saying it wasn't his race to win, and he still won it, which reminds me of my friend Captain Neil, who used to tell me, winning a race is great in the best car, but winning a race when the car has no business winning, that's magic. Of course, Lewis still had a great car, but I think this Sunday's victory was one of the finest in his arsenal of 94 Grand Prix wins. And, you know, this is some real good news for the competition, and I'm sure Bottas would be totally thrilled when he hears this again. Lewis told Brundle in post-race interview that he wants to be involved in bigger issues. Whatever his priorities are, from diversity to sustainability, from BLM to Justin Bieber, it's his life. He can do what he wants. But I just love the racer in him. And he basically said I think it was Mark Webber when he was being interviewed, that he is just beginning. So there's a lot more to come. I do want to ask you a question. Any chance Bottas can challenge him next season, yes or no?
Well, I hate to tell you the bad news, Nasser. Mr. Spock died, so he can't perform the mind melt to convince Bottas that he's really somebody else. So that was his only hope.
Yes, that is true. Final thoughts on the race, sir, before we move on to some other stuff?
Great race. I hope everybody's taping these races and saving them, because in 2021, we won't be back at Turkey. We won't be back at Imola. These are great tracks, and it's too bad, but it is what it is. Okay, on that note, let's hear from Gary Sloan.
Hello, listeners. My name's Gary Sloan, and this is this week's edition of In the Pit Lane. So last week, we looked at the possibility of Dietrich Mazatec selling the Red Bull team. This leaves the question, what about the AlphaTauri team? Well, the team was originally purchased in late 2005 from Minardi by ex-F1 driver Gerhard Berger and Red Bull, with the team changing its name to Toro Rosso, which translates in Italian to Red Bull. Berger sold his shareholding to Red Bull back in 2008. Now, it was clear from the start that the team was going to be the junior Red Bull team and would fulfil the role as a testing ground for new talent and drivers coming up through the Red Bull Driver Academy, as witnessed with the likes of Vettel, Ricciardo, Kayak, Sainz Jr., Verstappen, Albon and Gasly. But in 2020, we saw the significant development of the renaming of the team to Scuderia AlphaTauri, with Red Bull declaring the team would now become its sister team, a clear indication of ambition. So what is Mazatec's master plan? Well, the AlphaTauri fashion company was founded in 2016 and has, as you would expect from a billionaire businessman, global ambitions. It's worth noting Mazatec's created a new product with the Red Bull energy drink, disrupting the soft drinks market in the process. The energy drinks market is now worth $50 billion annually, with Red Bull selling an astonishing 7.5 billion cans in 2019. So Mazatec now aims to disrupt the world of global fashion. Welcome to when fashion meets function. According to the company's PR machine, as a fashion brand, AlphaTauri creates a new path in fashion through fusing textile technologies, purposeful design, aspirational styles and premium materials. The F1 environment allows AlphaTauri to progress and certify its innovations and textile technologies. Well, it's good to have that clarified. But make no mistake, Mazatec is serious about this new project, witnessed by the glitzy launch of this season's car, attended by the fashion, sport and film elite. The launch party was held in what is probably Salzburg's most exciting location, the world-renowned Red Bull Hangar 7, with its collection of F1 cars and the Flying Bull's fleet of aircraft. Simultaneously, AlphaTauri was showcased in the Rinsendale luxury department store in Milan, ahead of Milan Fashion Week, complete with a suspended F1 car in the window. So Mashutek will leave the team in the capable hands of team principal fellow countryman Frank Tost and ex-Ferrari executive Otel Valente. As for engines, Honda will be kept motivated in their final season with the anticipated signing of Japanese driver Yuki Tsuchiyondo. And with Red Bull sold, AlphaTauri could start an engine supply deal from 2022 onwards with Renault, free of the past toxic relationship between Alberto Marco and Horner. The relationship, or rather lack of it, was summed up best by ex-chief executive Carlos Ghosn, who famously said, "When Red Bull wins, Red Bull great. When Red Bull lose, Renault shit. We will show them." The relationship was less strained with Tost, although he did throw his toys out the pram when Cyril gave the team second-hand parts, enabling Renault to overtake Toro Rosso in the championship. The re-signing of Frenchman Pierre Gasly will be a huge motivator for Renault. A French race winner powered by a French engine, well, that's right up in the marketing department's wish list. So time will tell on the eventual outcome of Red Bull and AlphaTauri. In the meantime, the paddock is still desperately trying to find out how Pierre Gasly allegedly upset his masters at Red Bull. Well, did Christian Horner overhear Gasly telling Kaya that Posh Spice was his favourite Spice Girl? Who knows? More details at inthepitlane.com. Until next week, stay safe, stay well.
Thanks, Gary. Keep up the good work. And now we're going to take a quick break so Nasser can get a drink of cucumber water. So we'll be back after this brief message.
There's a holdup in the Bronx. Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout troop short of child. Khrushchev's still red out of wild.
Car 54, where are you?
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. I'd just like to let you know there is a industry standard name for cucumber water. It's called Karthikeyan Cola.
Grazie.
Yes, sir. Going back to Formula One to start Motorsport Mondial, two team principals were absent from Sunday's race. Mattia Binotto decided not to attend, perhaps trying to avoid another Turkish bath showered on him on his team by Toto and company, which we saw. And then Williams team principal Simon Roberts was forced out due to testing positive for COVID-19. And I just read before the beginning of the podcast that the Pirelli tire guy, Mario Isola, has also been diagnosed with COVID-19. So we want to wish all these gents and whoever is suffering speedy recovery. Next, sir, we have from the file called Why Am I Not Surprised? The removal of Vietnam Grand Prix. Now, this was going to be the first race brought in on the schedule by Liberty Media. The Hanoi People's Committee chairman Nguyen Duc Chung was arrested in August for alleged appropriation of documents containing state secrets. Apparently, this does not involve Formula One directly, but he's also in charge of the Formula One, so he may be a guest of the state soon. You know, same thing happened to the guy who was involved in bringing the Formula One to China. He also went to jail for taking a nice kickback. Okay, so his absence has led a vacuum in the Vietnamese authorities, and according to them, they have other priorities which they should have thought of before signing a contract. So their priorities are the pandemic, recovering from a typhoon, and key elections, and we know how important that can be. Okay, now we go to some championships have been decided, and this was a great weekend for drivers and riders to become champions of their chosen profession. Formula Renault Euro Cup, they were racing at Paul Ricard, and Lorenzo Colombo was the winner on Saturday. Second was Caio Collet. He is managed by Nicolas Todd. He was very good in karting and was touted as the next Ayrton Senna, and are definitely not working out to be like that, but you don't have to be Ayrton Senna to win a Formula One race and a championship. Victor Martin was fourth, and that was enough to make him champion for 2020 in his second year in the series. So that's good for him. Now, Formula Renault in its various forms, you know, they used to have Formula Renault UK and Britain and ALPS and NEC versions, but in all those iterations, they have produced several drivers in Formula One today, including Daniel Ricciardo, Bottas, Kimi, Lando Norris, and one very lucky chap who may be a lucky sir in the near future. MotoGP from Valencia, and we have a champion on two wheels also. 7 was a lucky number for Johan Mir. The Suzuki rider finished 7th, and that was enough to give him the 2020 MotoGP championship with one race winning. I think he should send a card to his fellow compadre, Marc Marquez, saying gracias amigo for not racing this season. The last Suzuki rider to win the MotoGP championship was KRJR, also known as Kenny Roberts Jr. in 2000. Now, I don't know about KRJR where he lives, but his papito, a great legend of motorcycle racing, he is from Modesto, California, not too far from the Palatial Studios. As usual, in the race, there was a close finish with pole sitter Franco Morbidelli on a Yamaha edging out Jack Miller on a Ducati. And these MotoGP races are available on YouTube also, and I always enjoy them immensely. Sir, Sebring 12 Hours normally takes place in March, but due to the circumstances we are in, it took place at Sebring, of course, this past weekend. And very pleased to say the winner was F1 Weekly friend Harry Tinknell in his Mazda, co-driven by Jonathan Bomarito and the IndyCar driver Ryan Hunter-Reay. The European version, or the global version of sports car racing, WEC, World Endurance Championship, they were in Bahrain, and not surprisingly, Toyota 1-2 with Mike Conway, Kamui Kobayashi and Jose Maria Lopez winning over sister car of Sebastian Buemi, Kazuki Nakajima and Brendan Hartley, three drivers who traveled the Broken Boulevard of Formula One also. Now, sir, we're looking at some points to ponder. According to Bernie Ecclestone, who likes to have the last laugh, Liberty is looking to sell F1. And I wonder who will buy F1 in this day and age. Bernie definitely has the money to buy it, lock, stock and barrel. But I think at the age of 90 plus, he has other priorities. Sir, this I saw on ESPN F1 website. Interesting information. Seb and Lewis have shared 56 podium appearances, more than any other pairing, which is very, very impressive. Okay, in Russia, we already have a Grand Prix in Sochi, and apparently the track in St. Petersburg has been completed and given the grade A by FIA. So who knows, we may have a Formula One race in Comrade Putin's home city, St. Petersburg. And Romain Grosjean, among all the screw-ups he does on the track, this time he missed his flight to Istanbul, arriving in Turkish capital a day later. So that's not an issue. And sir, now we come to, I already mentioned this, but since we wrote the script for Famous Last Words, I'll say it again. Did you see the Mark Webber interview with Lewis Hamilton? You know, the initial interview after the race was done by Martin Brundle, right? And then Mark Webber also did an interview. Did you watch that?
Well, Lancer, Lewis Hamilton has been winning and winning and winning. I'm not his biggest fan, but I think he's a wonderful guy. And I'll admit it, no, I did not listen to it.
Webber asked the 7-time world champion, what is the limit? 8, 9, 10? And responded, and I quote, I'm only just beginning, end of quote. I guess Turkey was the beginning of the end, and like you, Mr. Rogers, another great mind, also known as Ralf Schumacher, has already awarded the 2021 championship to the lucky one. And this is where we end Motorsports Mondial. Thank you for listening. I am a little disappointed in you, Mr. Rogers. Throughout this podcast, you have not given us an update on NASCAR Nation.
I'm sorry.
You got to come up with something from Chase Elliott or your favorite Greg Biffle or Dick Trickle.
No, Chase Elliott won and that was it. You know, I didn't look for more, but I know there's good stuff. You know, some guy got canned from the truck series. You know, it's happening over there, dude. It's a man's race over there.
I'm going to tell you something. They're going to have 6 road races. And you know, I love a race where cars are turning right and left. So I may become like you, start watching that more and more NASCAR.
There you go. Just put some good shoes on.
Oh yes, especially when they race in Montreal.
Exactly. You want to make sure they're tightly buckled.
You know what I would like to see when they race at these road races? Just for giggles, I would like to see somebody like a Kevin, you know, somebody who's not in Formula One right now, like a Romain Grosjean or a Kevin Magnussen, come and race with the boys and see how they do on a road course, because they're not going to beat the NASCAR boys at oval races, that's for sure. So it will be interesting to see how they will compete against a, you know, somebody who's done a lot of racing and has been very good in road racing. I would be interested in that.
That's a good idea, Nasser. I'll get Greg Biffle back in town.
Anything else you would like to discuss, Mr. Rogers?
Not really, sir. It's a beautiful world, but we do move on to Bahrain on the next Grand Prix. So we do have a break, which gives us a break, but we never break here at F1 Weekly because we're weekly. But nevertheless, Bahrain, we get a 95th win. We're not going to see rain in Bahrain, by the way. So, and that hasn't been resurfaced, and it's a bit sandy. So once again, but you're right. The LCH thing is hilarious because in the end, he said, the fire is burning and I've only just begun.
We've only just begun to live. White lace and promises. A kiss for luck and we're on our way.
It's hilarious, dude. I am telling you, Max peed in his pants, Norris peed in his pants, Ricciardo peed in his pants, Russell peed in his pants, and Bottas, he's already signed a contract, so he was caught giggling and laughing on the way to the bank.
You know what is disappointing in the junior Formulae, Formula 2, Formula 3, and I've watched a little bit of Formula 4 and Formula Renault, there is no, at least based on performance, nobody has really made a statement that they are the next LCH or next Max. Nothing even close to it. I mean, you look at Mick Schumacher winning Formula 2 in his second year. Callum Ilott is giving him a good run for the money. He's, I think, in his second or third year. So nobody's really standing out like, you know, Charles Leclerc won in his first year, LCH won in his first year. So that's very disappointing. But on the other hand, it's looking good for number 8, 9, 10 for Lewis. If this is the caliber that's coming into Formula 1 in the next 2 to 3 years.
And exactly what I wanted to say. That is the Lewis Hamilton, what we call karma. Where all the planets have lined up. Where he could practically sit in a camping chair and just collect. It's fantastic. You can't time things better than that. I'm serious. There are a lot more accolades and awards that this young man deserves because this is not easy stuff to accomplish, but he's done it, and you're right. The future, his path is clear. The runway lights are very visible. It's a clear evening. It's not going to be a problem. So, yeah, I hate to say it, but sometimes if you want to get into Formula One, make sure you go in when Lewis Hamilton is like 42, and then I think you'll be okay.
Yes, and don't become teammate to Max Verstappen.
Max Verstappen will have moved on by then. He'll give up and just say, I'm done. I've done everything I could possibly do, but they just won't let me drive that damn Mercedes.
Yes, and man, I'll tell you something. When they changed the rules in, what, like 2022? And turns out Mercedes still has the upper hand by half a second. Then we're looking at what? Then for sure we'll get 10 championships.
Absolutely. There's no doubt that we know Mercedes, listen, they have a big budget. They know what they're doing. That's all I'm going to say. Everybody has got a lot of homework to do during the off season.
Yeah, you know, one thing, as much as I would like to see more competition and regime change, but one thing I'm looking forward to, just for history in our lifetime, is Lewis has now 94 wins, 3 more races to go. I mean, minimum he'll have another win, okay? And next year we're going to have a century of Grand Prix wins. That will be fantastic.
Absolutely. You could start writing it because, you know, it's guaranteed. This is Joe Namath going to the Super Bowl. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have an idea, senor.
I thought so. Bravo, prego. Anyway, keep up the good work, NASA. I want to thank Gary for doing an outstanding job every week. I appreciate it. And always on time. Gary, another check is in the mail. I want to thank everybody who listens. We'll see you at the hot dog stand.
Thank you. Bye-bye.